Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. And man, I tell you what, we have a special guest today, another Beaver Lake guide. The whole show is just about guides maybe or something like that. But John Coughlin, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, is here with us and he guides for walleyes, stripers, and crappie. So he does those three. So we're going to pick his brain. And of course, what we want to know the most is walleye fishing, because that's what's different. You are a transplant, so you come down here and walleye are like second nature to you and how you catch them. And so tell us first a little bit about the overall what the fish population of walleyes are, what the length limit is, and maybe just like some forage. Give us that.
You bet. The walleye were put into Beaver Lake in 2008. They did initial stocking, I believe, about 2.5 million. And subsequent years, they've put in 200,000 to 500,000 each year, depending on how they electroshock them and pull out the females and strip them and do that. So Beaver Lake's an interesting lake. It has, according to the Arkansas Game and Fish, the fastest growing walleye population pretty much in the United States.
Wow.
So they put them in at about 3 inches. Get to 18 inches fairly quick. That's our limit, is 18 inches and greater.
To keep. And how many of them can you keep?
The limit is four.
Okay.
And you can keep four over 18. There is not a slot, so they have to be over 18 to keep.
Okay. So what else about?
Well, you know, Beaver Lake is a big lake. Uh-huh. We have two main tributaries that feed the lake, and that is the War Eagle Creek. It's more of a river, and the White River that come in, and the walleye go up those rivers in the springtime. The biggest thing that people need to know is our pre-spawn is pretty much in the middle of January,
right?
Which is still pretty cold here. You get a lot of people that don't realize that. They think they run up, you know, the rivers in March, April, which pretty much they're done spawning at that time.
Right.
So they come up into the river arms mid-January. Water temperatures are in the 40s usually. That's a time of year when they're easier to catch for people. Right. It kind of shrinks the playing area.
Right.
We use a lot of picos. We use a lot of... some people actually use brood minnow shiners, live bait, on a Carolina rig. So they're easier to catch in the springtime. They come up to spawn. And then after that, then they head out to the main lake.
Right.
Mid-May, they head off to the main points, and that's when we kind of flip over to crawler harnesses.
Okay. Which is, this is where we've gone into another direction altogether. This crawler harness is like... you're like speaking another language to some of us. And so tell us about a crawler harness and how they are rigged up. What's the hardware that you use?
Well, I use different blades. And what you do is you have a bottom, quote, bottom bouncer weight.
Okay.
You use a three-way swivel.
All right.
Which I have one here. And what you three-way. Do is off the... your main line comes off one swivel. Your bottom bouncer, usually about 2 feet off of that. I use about a 2 ounce weight to keep it down the bottom. And then I construct my own spinner rigs.
Right.
What you do is we use different blades. This happens to be a Max Smile blade. We use this right here. You rig that on first, and you can do a combination of bead colors and, usually use 3 to 4 beads. Sometimes I use a floating, a pill float.
That looks just like a pill.
Yep.
Right.
And what it does is it gives it some body to the spinner rig. And then the hook that we use is a slow death hook.
Okay. True turn.
It's like a true turn. It's got a little bit more of a bend to it. The main thing
who
on
makes
it,
that? What company?
There's different companies that make them.
Which one? Yeah. Who made that?
You know, I believe this is a Trocar hook.
Okay. Sharp.
Yeah, they're good. What it does, though, is when you fish with the, and we call these slow death rigs, okay?
Right.
So where that name comes in is the slow death. This is actually called a slow death hook.
Right.
And what it does is you don't use a whole night crawler on this. which a lot of people make a mistake,
oh,
is they you use a half a night crawler. You pinch it and you put it on here, and what this will do, this hooks.
You're using the tail end.
Yeah, either okay. end, but yeah.
Oh, all right.
And what it does is when it comes through the water, this, with the bend in the hook, it actually makes the bait rotate.
I see.
And that's where that slow death name comes in. Oh, it just wow. kind of does this.
It rotates so, all the way around then?
Yes, it does. 360 degrees. Yes, it does.
Okay.
And so what you want to do is when you make that rig there, you want to make sure you use swivels on top of the three-way.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll have a six-foot leader, and I'll tie a swivel on a three, just a regular swivel, and use that on onto my three-way, uh-huh. and that prevents that line twist.
I got you.
So that's how we catch them in the summertime here. You control crankbaits.
Right.
What you want to look for is the thermocline.
Uh-huh.
Especially in the summertime, you look on your graphs. You know a lot about electronics.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing is to learn what the thermocline looks like. And so you can target those areas.
So are you fishing on top of the thermocline, in the thermocline? You just touching it?
So what I do is if the thermocline, for example, right now is at 18 to 20 feet.
Right.
You're going to want to look off main points in that 18 to 20 foot water, not uh-huh. necessarily out in 40 foot of water where the thermo is,
right.
but those walleye will get on those points in that ideal temperature range. Like, so if the thermo's at 20, you'll want to target your points at about 20 foot deep.
Okay.
And what we do is we'll throw those crawler harnesses through those points.
Uh-huh.
The biggest thing with crawler harnesses is it's very slow.
Right.
It's a mile an hour.
That's how fast your boat's
yeah,
going.
Yeah, you troll about a mile an hour.
Okay.
Walleye are very speed sensitive.
Right.
Same thing when you're trolling picos.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they're going to hit at 1.5. Sometimes they want it at 2.
Right.
You hone in on that speed that they want. Now, in crawler harnesses, you're going to be slow. It's a slow way to fish, but it's very effective.
And so are you putting them in rod holders? Are you holding them?
No.
What's the deal?
No. So what we do with crawler harnesses... is I have the clients when we're fishing for walleye uh-huh. with the night crawler harnesses holding the rods in their hands
uh-huh.
because the bite, you would think, you and I talked about this earlier,
right.
you would think the bite with a walleye with all their teeth and everything be really aggressive. On a crankbait, when they hit that crankbait, they're on there.
Right.
But when you're fishing crawler harnesses, I have them hold them in their hands because the bite's very subtle. They'll feel a tap.
Right.
And what I have the clients do is I tell them to let it, drop it back to them.
Right.
And then you pull it forward. And if you feel that tap again, that's when you sweep set the hook. You don't set the hook straight up and down.
Okay.
You sweep set that hook so it hooks them in the sides of the mouth.
Okay.
Some people, like on a, they'll try to do a bass set.
Right.
And you'll pull the bait right out of their mouth. So.
Why is there a two tap? How does that happen?
You know. What they say and what I've read and kind of what I believe is walleye have a tendency on bait, and we were talking about this earlier,
uh-huh.
they'll hit a bait to stun it, kill it, taste it to see if it's something that they want.
Right.
And what they'll do is then they'll come back that second time. So when we drop back to them, I tell them to feed, let it drop back to them. That's when they usually come in and hit it the second time and take it.
I see.
They flare out one side of their gills.
Wow.
That's a tendency that they do
uh-huh.
to turn the bait in their mouth.
Uh-huh.
They'll flare one side or the other out, and that second hit is when they're in there and they're flaring that out, and then they'll take that bait.
Right.
So it's crawler harnesses are a little more complicated, as we were talking about earlier.
Right. Just tying them looks complicated.
Yeah, tying them, you know, and... It's not bad. If I had some mono, I could actually show you how to do that. Maybe we can do that another time.
Yeah.
You can buy them in the stores.
Oh, you can buy them pre-rigged.
You can buy them pre-rigged. This is a Max. You can go into different tackle stores. They'll have Max Smile Blades slow death rigs.
Uh-huh.
And you buy the whole components already done.
Right.
Now, I do mine custom, just changing the color of the beads, the right. length of the leader. Sometimes they're leader shy.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I'll put an 8-foot floral leader on there to get it back away from the terminal, the three-way
right.
swivel.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes you could have a 3-foot leader and they'll hit fine. But on this lake, beavers are Clear Lake, as you know.
Right.
And, you know, just like we do a striper, sometimes you have to really downsize your leader test to get the hits. And so that's, you know, that when you come into an 8 to 10 foot leader sometimes. So
we're a little spoiled today because, as you can hear, there is some wind, but actually the White River's right behind us. And so every time John goes by, I get my binoculars out and I see if he's catching a walleye and if he's using slow death. I know he's using a crawler harness if he's going 1 mile an hour, but I know that he's using picos.
Yep.
If he's going that 1.5
little bit
to,
faster. Yep.
To 2 miles an hour. So, when would you use a crankbait?
Well,
season? What is there a window of opportunity that they're best to use?
You bet. And it all goes in a cycle, you know.
Uh-huh.
So spring, pre-spawn, they come up into the rivers.
Right.
Trolling picos is a great way. You know, our rivers up here will be 7 to 9 feet deep. The spawning shoals will be 4 to 6.
Right.
These lures hit that depth. What I tell people when we're trolling picos is you want that to be ticking the bottom.
Right.
So walleye, for the most part, are bottom huggers. So you want that lure to be hitting that gravel, and you'll see it ticking the bottom.
Right.
That bite starts mid-January. It goes through about May.
You're actually using a diver.
Right.
Like the INT,
yep.
Which
yep.
will dive down to...
Yep.
Roughly 12 foot, and then it depends how much line you let out is how deep it's actually going to go.
And the nice thing, let me steal that from you. The nice thing about that is this will, even though you're on gravel shoals, that's where they'll spawn. The bill keeps this from getting hung up. It will tick the bottom.
Right.
And it really gets them, it fires them up to, it's a reactionary bite pretty much.
Uh-huh.
They're in there to spawn. They're really not feeding, but they're reactionary. And this comes buy them at ticking the bottom, and they'll hit it.
Hey, who's not going to eat a McDonald's fry if it comes right in front of you?
Yeah, that's half my problem. I mean, so yeah. I'm not starving to death, but no, I get it. But the crankbait bite goes through basically the spawn, pre-spawn through the spawn. Here where Brad lives, these fish come by here up the White River to spawn.
Right.
Come mid-April, they'll turn back around and they start heading back to the main lake to set up on their summer pattern.
Right.
I do a lot of, I do the reports for the Arkansas Game and Fish, and you can see that transition where it goes from cranks to the crawler harnesses. Now, that doesn't mean you can't catch them on cranks in the summertime.
Right.
You know, you got to get out early in the morning or late at, you know, coming up to sunset. And if you can get these down to where they're at, and there's a few tricks that Brad can tell you too by adding a little bit of weight to them and things like that.
That's right.
You can get these down there. The one thing is cranks are a lot easier to master than the crawler harnesses, as we've talked.
Right. But there's a certain time where those crawler harnesses, it's time to put the hard baits away, and it's time to get the night crawlers out.
When that thermocline sets up on our lake, it's usually around 80 degrees, and then you'll start getting a thermocline.
Right.
When that thermocline sets up, what I've noticed over the years, that's when I flip over to the crawler harness.
Right.
It's deadly. It's slow. But it will put fish in the boat.
Right.
You know, the only
downside...
Do you think
you catch bigger fish on a crawler harness?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I don't know if they're bigger. Your numbers are better.
Right.
The biggest drawback, and it's kind of a plus, if you have kids...
Oh, yeah.
And you do the crawler harnesses, you'll pick up a lot of bycatch, which... It's not bad. You'll pick up Kentuckys, spotted bass. You'll pick up big channel cats, big blue cats. You'll pick up, you know, brim, bluegill. Uh-huh. So you catch a lot of... So what I would say, if you're going to do a crawler harness, you better bring
lots of
night crawlers, because we'll go through 4 to 6 dozen in a day.
Right.
You've got a lot of action, a lot of bites. but they're not.
But you're also using the head. You're using both sections, huh?
We use both sections. I like to use the head part first with the heart.
Yeah.
I use that first. And what I do is when I break that off, I'll thread it not from the head, but through the cut part back into the head. So I'll thread the whole crawler onto this hook to where there's just a little bit off the backside. And like I say, if you do the slow death rigs, which you can make them or you can buy them, you don't want to use a whole crawler because it hinders the spin. The spin is what gets those fish to react. So the slow death rig, I highly recommend it. Yeah, there's a lot of different spinner rigs out there. You know, there's all sorts of tech companies that make pre-made, pre-packaged. You don't have to make your own. I just do because I mess around with colors and size and things like that, and hopefully catch.
It probably makes a difference. You know, you are a guide.
So I am paid to do that.
You're coming up with something that works, you know, 10% better than everybody else or 20% better. I mean, that's what they want.
True.
And those are...
Theoretically, that's the idea. So, yeah, you know, I get out there and I custom make all my stuff. And and it seems to work better. And like I say, what I would tell people is if you're fishing, and it's not to hire a guide. Brad's a guide. I'm a guide. A guide can teach you a lot. I've used guides myself. If you're not on Beaver, you're on whatever lake you're on. It's money well spent. Your learning curve without a guide's real flat. You take a guide out for a 6-hour trip, you're going to cut your time in, you know, 10 times quicker. You're going to learn what to do just by watching, you know, what they do. So I highly recommend, you know, it's not pushing me as a guide, you know, anywhere you're at, but I've used guides. You've probably used guides. And you can learn something real quick. You can go out on your own and try this. And it just takes patience, and you can get there.
Right. So normally when you're trolling crawler harness, you're holding on to two poles or one pole? Because how big a boat do you have? I mean, do you have a great big center console?
I have a 21-foot Express. So it's I would say people would say it's a big boat.
Right.
But... what we do, the one thing on crawler harnesses compared to cranks, I have a rod rack on my boat. You know, you've seen me out here.
Yeah.
You can run 8 to 10. In Arkansas, we can run more than one rod. We can run
as many as you want.
I guess there is not a limit.
There isn't.
It's how much headache you want.
Right.
But, you know, we'll run 8 to 10 rods. You know, when we're striper fishing or trolling cranks, we troll a lot of picos for crappie. I'll have 8 to 10 rods out.
Right.
That's a whole other story. That's how you don't get them all tangled. But when I crawler harness fish, because the bite is so tight, you know, light and just a little bit of a, you know, you just feel a little bit of a tap, you have to hold that rod.
Right.
I've experimented with putting crawler harnesses on rods, and it just doesn't work. You just don't catch them.
But they can hold two rods?
No,
seems like a wide. So they hold one
they
rod.
They hold one rod.
On one side.
Yes,
and
on one
you
side.
Put multiple people on.
Yep, and yeah, I can stagger my customers, my clients. I can have 4 or 5 rods out. I have a couple out the back of the boat,
right.
2 or 3 out the side, different lengths out, just like you do when you striper fish so they don't get tangled up.
Right.
So, yeah, but I would recommend holding your rod when you're using a crawler harness.
How many people's the max you take out fishing? You get like 10, 15 people on your boat and have a disco ball.
Yeah, no. We can take 10 or 15 people out and pull over on the bank out in front of your house. And
no, I don't think.
Come see you and have a good time on the bank. But no, 10 or 15 doesn't work. But I like on walleye, I like two to three.
2 to 3.
To be able to spend the quality time and let somebody learn something.
Okay.
So that's the biggest thing is trying to teach them something that they can use when they leave.
All right. So in general, most of the trips you have are like 2 and 3 people.
2 and 3. Right. Striper trips we can do, you know, because we can put out, as you know, you can put out 8 to 10 rods. You can have 4 people on the boat. Problem is with stripers, as you know, also is when you have 4 to 5 pull downs, we call it the striper shuffle. You've got fish going every different direction. And
right.
usually out of those four or five catch. Fish, you maybe catch one.
Right.
You're cutting lines and everything else. So it's fun for the first 3 minutes, but then it's not so much fun. So,
all right. Well, that takes us to tackle time. And, of course, tackle time this week, we'll start with Pico Lures because we've been talking about Pico Lures. And we've been talking about crankbaits. And so they actually have they got some wicked colors. Did you see some of these tri-color things? Would that be a walleye color?
Yeah. I mean, the big thing on this
are
lake.
Are we looking at more shad patterns? Geezer clown?
Is geezer clown.
That catches everything.
But, yeah, this is a great... Now, this is square bill, but the deeper divers is what we use when we're fishing the pre-spawn and spawn.
Right.
Anything that replicates a sunfish on this lake, and we kill the crappie on these. Pink... This pink color works good.
Yep. Pink. Oh yeah, yeah. Look at this one. Have you seen?
I have. I used those the other day on a crappie trip. That speckled pink. That's a good color.
Yeah, the splatterback.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Pink splatterback.
Yeah, that's an awesome.
Awesome color. Did a good job on that.
Yes, he did. And
chrome and blue.
Yep. The biggest colors. In the pre-spawn and spawn, you get into these chartreuse and the oranges. Uh-huh. This color pattern is going to work.
Right.
Sometimes hot pink will work. And sometimes they want a natural color. This right here catches a lot of, for me, lately, this has been a crappie catcher.
That's a clown color.
And this has really been doing good on crappie. It's a walleye show, but
yeah.
I use Picos all the time. I do crappie trips in the summer when the crappies, as you know, they suspend in that thermocline. These are killers.
Yep.
It's really the only way to catch crappie on this lake in the summertime.
Throw them back 50 foot to 90 foot and somewhere in there, find out what they're hitting at and then replicate that.
Different speeds.
So make sure you check out those, and Pico has a whole line. They have jig heads. They got everything you need to catch fish. So you can check them out at picolures.com. And, of course, our other sponsor, I thought it would be great since we had talked about, catching a fish that we want to eat because walleye tastes really good. They're good palates. The knives. So, actually, Smith Consumer Products, they actually have, they got a couple different sizes. Like for a striper, you'll want to longer, bigger blade flexes. And, of course, this is the slab sticker, the Mr. Crappie. Smaller, easier to use. You may use, like, the electric knife and trim it with that. The thing I have to point out on these and the thing that I love is they come with this cover. So it comes with a sheath. So, I usually get a flay knife and they don't have a cover. You're like walking around like your wife's like.
Somewhat dangerous.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you're like, I don't have one of these. But anyway, the Smiths do have that. So Smith Products, you can check them out at smithproducts.com. And now, John, this is kind of important. If they wanted to get hold of you, where would they get hold of you?
Well, my Facebook page, my business page is called Fish On Guides, Goshen, Arkansas. You can look that up. My phone number is 479, area code 233-3474. You can contact me there. And then I have I'm an affiliate with Ozark Fishing Guides, which means I have a friend of mine that owns that. He's a master at marketing. I'm not. I'm a fisherman. I'm not a web guy. So if you go to Fish for Striper or Ozark Fishing Guides, you can book me through there too. So a lot of my bookings come through Ozark Fishing Guides.
I got you. All right. Sounds good. Well, it's the end of the show. We've taught you all kinds of stuff about walleye fishing here on Beaver Lake. So you want to check that out. Probably will also work where you're fishing because a fish is a fish is a fish.
That's right.
So, and like I like to leave the show is make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.
That's right.